Welcome. It's Tuned to Yesterday, featuring programs from radio's past. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. In this hour, crime stories. Later on, we hear Vincent Price as the Saint from 1947. But first, it's an episode of The Lineup from June 21st, 1951 on CBS.
Ladies and gentlemen, we take you now behind the scenes of a police headquarters in a great American city, where under the cold, glaring lights will pass before us the innocent, the vagrant, the thief, the murderer. This is The Lineup.
Your man's in the front row, in the middle there.
Thanks, big line.
Yeah, about 22.
I'll see you later.
Yeah.
Hello, Mr. Martin.
Oh, hello, Lieutenant. How are you?
Just fine. Been here long?
Not long, no. Do you think you got any of the men?
No way of being sure until you point them out. We picked up three or four on suspicion, past records, and close to your description.
May I have your attention, please? You people out there on the other side of the wire in the audience room, may I have your attention, please? Thank you. My name is Greb, Sergeant Matt Greb. I'll explain the lineup to you. Each of the suspects you will see will be numbered. I'll call off a number, their name, and charge. At the end of each line, when I ask for questions or identifications, call out the number. Please be prompt with your questions or identifications. When the prisoners leave here, they are sent to the washroom and dressed back into their jail clothes. It makes it quite difficult to bring them back after they leave here. The questions I ask these suspects are merely to get a natural tone of voice, so do not pay too much attention to their answers, as they often lie. Bring on the line. All right, boys, keep it moving. Right over here to the end of the stage. Now turn face front, hands to your sides. When I call out your name and number, step out, face the room, talk up so everybody can hear you. All right, number one, Louis Foster, robbery. Where do you live, Louis?
108 and a half, North Lincoln Boulevard.
What's your business?
A cabby.
You drive a cab?
I used to.
How long ago did you used to?
I used to a year ago. I got canned. I can't jockey cabs no more. Lousy company blackball me.
You own a car?
No, sir.
Any weapons on you when you were arrested?
No, sir.
Anybody with you?
Yeah. Guy named Bernie or something.
Bernie what?
Bernie, I'm not even sure of that. I don't know his last name. He's standing right back there.
Bernie King, number four. How long you known him?
I met him, 3-4 days. In a bar. We got drinking, and that's when we cooked up the job.
Okay, step back. Number two, William Small, assault.
Where do you live, Bill?
333 South 103rd Street.
What's your business?
Bartender.
Where do you work?
The Domino, over on Jefferson. 46 West.
He beat up a customer pretty bad.
Yeah, he got out of line. I asked him to shut up. He don't shut up. I take it for about an hour, and then I don't take it no more.
You ask him to leave?
Sure, like always. Guys gets hanged up. First, I ask him to leave. I'm pretty big. Usually, they don't give me no lip. This guy, he's pretty big, too.
He didn't want to leave?
Nah. He gets very insulted. Starts calling me names he ain't gotten around to until then. I try to hustle him. Gentle, but I mean it, see? He don't hustle. Instead, he clobbers me one with his elbow. Right in the kisser, he clobbers me. So what else? I go to work. I rough him up good. I'm mad now, see? I really rough him up.
You hit him with a table.
Well, he had a bar stool. I had to hit him with something or he brains me for keeps.
Okay, step back.
Sure. A soft yet. He don't get nothing, huh?
Just a concussion. Number three, Homer Miller, robbery.
Any of the men up there?
No,
349
South L. What's your business?
I ain't been working lately. I used to be a steeplejack.
How long have you lived here?
About 6-7 years. I come from Detroit.
Hi, boy.
No, man.
That coffee hot?
Yeah.
Martin didn't make an identification, huh?
He's down looking at the mug file again. Here.
Thanks. Well, you'd sure think with four men to find, he ought to be able to spot one of them.
I don't know. Maybe they haven't got any records.
They were pretty professional about it. We didn't even get a print.
Yeah. But look at the M.O. Four guys go into a theater, stick it up. One lookout. The other three guys go up to the manager's office. We've had theater hold up, sure, but not four guys working like this.
Young guys.
Yeah, Martin says the three who came into his office couldn't have been over 22 or 3. Yeah, nobody in our files even comes close to the descriptions.
Out of town?
Maybe. Maybe their first job. They acted like cowboys and Indians. Martin says he thought they were kidding until he saw the guns.
Well, what have you done?
Staked out the theaters. Guthrie? Yeah? Yeah? The Lincoln? Okay. Let's go.
Something hot.
Those four guys just held up the Lincoln Theater. Fitch was on stakeout, tried to stop him.
Tried?
He downed one, but got shut up doing it. He's on the way to the hospital.
How bad?
Pretty bad.
Hello, Ben. Matt.
Hi, Asher. How's Fitch?
No report yet. He's in the operating room.
Who's the doctor?
Gerson. Fitch caught one in the chest and one in the right leg.
Family been...
Yeah, they're in this room.
What about the other one?
No identification on him. Before he passed out, he said his name was Martinelli. Fitch really blew him up. Slug went in the right hand, up the arm, right through his body. Funny, huh? Up the arm like that, right through? Here's Dr. Lundigan. He operated on Martinelli.
Gentlemen, I suppose you're the police.
That's right, Doctor. I'm Lieutenant Guthrie. This is Sergeant Gray.
Hi, Doc.
How do you do? How's Martinelli?
I can't say just yet. He hasn't regained consciousness since we removed the bullet.
We were hoping to question him.
Well, you can wait in the room if you like.
Thanks.
It's 304 right there.
Well, let's go in.
Ben.
Hmm?
I just came from the theater to cash
this. Come on in the room and tell me, huh? We're police, nurse. Dr. Lundigan said we could wait in here.
Well, all right, if he said so. I'll get another chair.
Thanks.
Please try to talk quietly.
Okay.
He's working pretty hard at it.
Yeah. What do you got, Quine?
Now, the cashier at the theater saw the car, but all she knew was it's a blue sedan. Not much, but I put on an APB, and descriptions tallied all the way around. Has to be the same bunch. Mm-hmm. How's Fitch?
He's still out, too.
You want me to stick around?
Yeah, for a while. Why, you got a date?
No, I got nothing to do.
Here you are.
Thanks.
I better call the doctor. Ask Dr. Lundigan to come to 304.
That's that, huh?
Yes.
Quine, stay and get fingerprints on him. If anything comes up, you can get me at home. Let's go, man.
Got the lawn looking good.
Oh, not bad for just Sunday labor. Well, good night. I'll see you in the morning.
Want me to pick you up?
No, I want to leave the car to be serviced. Say hello to Molly.
Right. Night.
Night.
Yeah.
Johnny, douse these lights. Get the car started. Come on. Let's get him out of here.
Heavy, ain't he?
Don't see nobody.
Okay, drag him out.
I bet nobody ever kidnapped no cop before.
All right. Get him down to the shed.
Okay. Where do you want him?
Just dump him.
All right. He's coming around.
Give him time. Sapped him pretty good. Go ditch that car.
Yeah.
Don't feel so good, huh, cop?
You want I should get some water or something and dump it on him?
Or you should just go sit down and shut your face. I'll take care of the cop.
Okay. Big deal.
How about it, cop? Feel like sitting up?
Huh?
Oh, sure, you can sit up, so sit up.
He don't look so good. You messed him up.
He needed messing. Come on, cop.
Take it easy.
What? Wake up.
K.O. K.O.
Now sit there.
What's going on?
You got beamed.
No.
You got beamed good.
Shut up.
Okay, okay.
Here, cop. Have a drink of water.
No, thanks.
Well, you should have. Now you got yourself all wet.
You punk, who do you think you're talking to?
You! You I'm talking to any way I want to.
He just don't get it. Big, stupid cop. Just don't get it.
Like to know about it, big, stupid cop? Want to know why you got your skull split, huh?
Who are you?
Martinelli.
Oh.
Tony Martinelli. One of your stinking cops shot my brother. You get it now?
Yeah.
Anybody ever kidnapped a cop before, huh? Anybody ever kidnapped a lieutenant, a big, dumb lieutenant, huh? You got to learn to answer when I ask you something.
That theater job, your first stick-up, Tony?
What makes you think so?
Because you pulled another one 3 days later.
So what?
Amateur. Smart hood would figure we'd stake out the theaters.
I'm not smart, huh?
Not a bit.
Smart enough to get 3,000.
I told you to keep your face shut.
All right. Car's ditched.
Hey, he's with us, huh?
The boys are making a big mistake.
Tell us how we're making a big mistake, huh? None of us got records in this town. Who's going to find us?
They'll find you. Know the penalty for kidnapping in the state?
They ain't going to find us, cop. My brother ain't going to say nothing. And if we got you along, even if they do find us, they ain't going to do nothing.
I'm getting hungry.
I'll go out and get some sandwiches.
Okay, what do you want?
Hey, a liverwurst.
Just get some, Stephanus.
Okay. Yeah, how about the copper?
Oh, he ain't hungry. Get me some hamburgers.
Okay.
You know what we're going to do, Lieutenant?
What?
We're going to wait right here to see if my brother's going to be all right. Then we'll leave in the state. You're going to be sitting right in the front seat all the way.
What if your brother doesn't get all right?
You still sit in the front seat until we get clear.
He's not in yet. I was just swiping some coffee.
Well, swipe me some. What'd you find out on Martinelli?
Here.
Oh, thanks.
We ran down the fingerprints. Got him through the army. Full name, Giulio Martinelli. 26 years old. Born in this country, Detroit. Don't know how long he's lived here. No record at all.
What's Detroit say?
I'm waiting on it now. Just heard from the army an hour ago. He's got a brother, Tony Martinelli. Family deceased.
What kind of an army record does he have?
Lousy. Both he and his brother are always in trouble. No overseas duty. Stationed in California.
I wonder where Ben is.
Oh, you're supposed to pick him up?
No. Oh, he's probably still having his car serviced.
Hey, here's the report from Detroit. Both the Martinellis have records. Minor offenses, but habitual. Both served small-time raps a dozen times.
Any report on the blue sedan?
No, and here's something else. Detroit sent back these covering the descriptions of the other two guys with the Martinellis. Martinelli's brother, Tony's, is cinched to be the guy who ran the stick-ups, and these two guys have been picked up with him a couple of times.
Luke Johnson, Charlie Rinn.
Yeah, according to their records, they never pulled off anything this big, just petty stuff in the past.
Well, you better have these circulated.
Right. And where's Ben?
I don't know. He sure is late.
Pictures on the front page.
We better get out of here.
What's the matter?
Those dirty rotten.
The kid?
Yeah. Cop?
Yeah.
Julie's dead.
Yeah.
Died last night, 9 o'clock, before we got you. You know it, huh?
Uh-huh.
You know what happens to you, cop? You know, don't you, cop? You know what I'm going to do to you.
Tony, look, we're in it up to here now. You can't...
Shut up! Shut up!
Yeah, but they know who's...
So what? So what if they know? This big, dumb cop is going to get us off. And I'm going to blow his brains out.
Tony,
I'm still running this thing. You're going to do what I tell you to do. We stay right here tonight. You want to get out of this?
We're killing the cop.
You know what I was planning.
But they know who we are.
I'll kill him. After we get clear, I'll kill him. You don't have to do nothing to do it. I'll kill him all by myself, and I love it. I'm gonna love every minute of it.
Haven't got him yet?
No.
You been over to his house?
I sent cargo over. Here, it's 3:30 and no word yet. Ben's never stayed away without at least checking in. He didn't even go into the garage.
To check the hospital?
Oh, we would have gotten some word by now. I covered the morgue.
Oh, hour. Nothing like that.
Well, how do you know? I at least got a... Grab. What's the address? Okay. Asher thinks maybe he's got an identification on one of the men. Cafe down on River Street, 105 East.
You want me to come along?
No. No, you'd better stay here until Carger checks in about Ben. Let me know as soon as you hear anything, huh?
Forline, man.
How do you do?
How are you, Mr. Forline?
He identified this one, Luke Johnston.
Positive?
He's pretty sure.
Oh, yeah, I'm pretty sure. This guy in the picture came in this morning and got some sandwiches.
To take out?
To take out, yeah. Liverwurst and 6 hamburgers. I remember because I ain't had too many customers today.
Do you notice whether he was in a car or not?
No. Well, I mean, I noticed. I seen him walk away across the street that way. You see, we stay open all night, and he was my first customer. He walked that way right down there. See, what's he doing? Is he a killer, maybe?
The river's down that way.
Well, sure, probably lived down there by it. He kind of looked funny. I thought he looked funny when he first came in, like he was a gangster, maybe.
Looks just like a kid in this picture.
Oh, sure, yeah. He's young. He's about my boy's age, maybe, but... Oh, look tough and shifty. Oh, you know the type. He got coffee and sandwiches.
Where's your phone?
It's right there. It's a nickel. I'm sorry. Oh, he got his nickel back. Yeah, how'd you like that?
Professional secret.
This is Greb. Let me talk to Waldo. Hello, Captain. We got an identification on Luke Johnson. I'll need every available man to cover this area, at least 15. It's my guess Johnson is holed up somewhere within walking distance of the river. Yes, sir. I'll keep in touch. Yeah, I know. Okay. Oh, the address is 105 East River. Right. Asher, you work with me.
Right.
Something big, huh? Those guys who stuck up the theaters? Yeah, I read about that.
Well, thank you for your help, Mr. Froline.
Four-line. Like on a golf course. Four.
Ain't it dark enough yet, Tony?
Only dark, huh, Tony?
All right, all right. Which way's the car?
In the alley behind the charter house. Look, Tony, do we have to take this guy along? Can't you knock him off here?
You knucklehead, he's insurance. Come on, Lieutenant, on your feet. Move.
Tony, don't hit no more. We'll have to carry him again.
Go out the back way. And so help me, cop, one fancy move, and I'll blow you apart.
Hey, Lieutenant, you look awful.
Thanks.
Shut up.
We only got about a half a tank of gas, Tony.
That'll get us to the state line and more.
Yeah, we should have brought some food if we ain't gonna stop, Tony.
There's your car.
Hold it.
I thought I saw something move.
Down, Ben! Get the beggar!
No. Where'd he go?
There he is. In between those buildings. Ben, we'll get him. Ben, come back here.
Luke. He's lying back there next to Charlie, tough boy. Now, come here.
I got no gun, Cobb. Don't shoot. I got no gun.
I know you haven't, Tony.
He can't get away, Ben. Go back to the car. He's calling.
He sure is. All right, Tony. Come on out.
Okay, come on. Don't shoot.
I don't have a gun, Tony. Come here.
All right. Take it easy now, Lieutenant.
Come here.
I got no gun. You win, Steve. You win. Take it easy, huh? Don't do it!
Ben? Get up, Tony. Please, get up. Come on, get up.
I don't think he's going to, Ben.
Wouldn't you know it? I'd like to beat
that... Take it easy, boy.
Well, that's what happens when you lose your temper. I should have saved the Sunday punch for last.
The lineup, where before you pass the innocent, the vagrant, the thief, the murderer. Listen again next week when we again bring you The Lineup.
May I have your attention, please? You people out there on the other side of the wire in the audience room, may I have your attention, please? Thank you. My name is Greb, Sergeant Matt Greb. I'll explain the lineup to you. Each of the suspects you will see will be numbered. I'll call off a number, then name and charge. At the end of each line, when I ask for questions or identifications, call out the number. Please be prompt with your questions or identifications.
The Lineup, starring Bill Johnstone as Lieutenant Ben Guthrie and Wally Mayer as Sergeant Matt Greb, is written by Blake Edwards and Dick Quine, with music by Eddie Dunstetter. Featured in tonight's cast were High Everback, Tony Barrett, Dick Ryan, Ted DeCorsia, Peter Leeds, Virginia Gregg, Howard McNear, and Clayton Post. The Lineup is produced and directed in Hollywood by Jaime Del Valle. Elation and syncopation are the main elements of tomorrow night's Bing Crosby show over most of these same CBS stations. And no wonder, the Groner himself vocalizes and informalizes. And Bing's guests include Tommy Dorsey with some fancy licks on his slide trombone, hot violinist Joe Venuti, and that equally torrid songbird Teresa Brewer. Tomorrow night on the Bing Crosby show. Dan Coverly speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
The Lineup on Tuned to Yesterday from the 21st of June, 1951 on CBS. That very same show would be repeated again in July of the same year. You're listening to an hour of crime on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And now Vincent Price in one of his great radio roles as the Saint. This episode first aired on October 15, 1947 on CBS, the earliest known broadcast surviving from the series, called Gangster District Attorney.
Thank you.
The States, based on characters created by Leslie Charteris and known to millions from books, magazines, and motion pictures. The Robin Hood of modern crime now comes to radio, starring Hollywood's brilliant and talented actor, Vincent Price, as the Saint.
Come in. Oh, now it's you again.
Yes, me again, Shane. I told you I'd be back for an answer.
And I told you what the answer would be, McGath. I like this town. I'm going to stick around a few more days and finish up my business here.
Like I said, Shane, it ain't your business. And the boss has upped the price to $5,000 for you to skip. $5,000, Shane, just to leave town and forget you ever been here.
That's not my price, McGath.
Well, then what do you want? Go on, make an offer.
I want the man who killed John Daniels.
Daniels? Treasury Department guy?
Yes.
What do you got to do with him?
He was a friend of mine. I want the boy who'll cut him down, McGarrett.
That is one boy you ain't gonna get, Saint.
Oh, the big shot did it himself,
the
eh?
The big shot did it himself.
And then I'll settle for him.
You settle in your grave first. You're gonna have to make an awful lot of first down step across that goal line, Mr. Templar.
Oh, I've got some trick plays I expect to use. Deception against power. It sometimes works, McGarrett.
I always heard you were a smart pants. I guess I heard wrong. You think I'm tough?
Tough enough.
Well, just wait till you see what you got to go through before you even get within hog calling distance of the big shot, Saint. Well, you see. And to top it off, there ain't but two guys in this town even know who he is.
Who are the two, McGuy?
Goodbye, Saint. Martini and Shaw, the best undertakers in town.
Who are the two guys who know who the big shot is, McGarrett?
Don't come no closer, Saint. This gun spits poison. Lead poison.
Yeah, that gun looks good on you, McGarrett. It sort of rounds out the picture of what the well-dressed bum is wearing this season.
Stay where you are, Saint, or I'll show you what the well-dressed snooper wears in this town. A perforated vest. Now keep back there. Keep out.
Thank you. I'll add this piece of lethal hardware to my collection, McGarrett. And if you don't start the sort of conversation piece I want to hear, you go into my collection, too.
I don't know nothing.
I know, but I'm not interested in your lack of formal education. It's the name of two people I'm concerned with.
I don't know. Oh, my arm. Let go of my arm.
The name.
It was a dame. She knew Mr. Big, the only dame he ever went for.
Dame named what?
Rose. Rose Taylor. Let go of my arm.
Another name.
Kill me if I tell.
I'll kill you if you don't. The other name.
Al Boston.
Al Boston.
Yeah, go. Let go.
Very well, McGarrett. Rose Taylor and Al Boston.
I warned you, Saint. You ain't scoring against this team. You better get...
I heard you, McGarrett. Now, as my old grandmother used to say, out, bum, out.
You?
Not yet, Rose.
Not ever.
Come now, Rose. Is it polite to shut the door on a man's toes? I give you my word I'm not a brush salesman. Why, I haven't got a brush to my name.
Then I'll give you one. Scram, mister. I don't like snoopers. Stop pushing you. All right, so you're in. So what do we do now, dance?
Yes, or sing, perhaps.
You couldn't buy a song from me.
Not even a little song? A man's name?
Who?
The man behind the men behind the guns, Rose. Mr. Important.
That's no small music, mister. That's the whole opera.
Are you afraid of him too, Rose?
In this town, the best way to stay healthy is to stay afraid. I'm scared of everyone, mister. I'm even scared of you.
Maybe I should have taken off the pumpkin head when Halloween was over, like the rest of the children.
You've got a bug buzzing inside you, mister. It's going to get you killed unless you stop it from asking the wrong kind of questions. What's your target, anyway?
My target? The electric chair. And I intend to dump my ammunition squarely in it. A man named John Daniels was killed by a man I'm going to meet very soon.
You're dead, mister. You're all dead. All that's needed to make it legal for the buzzards is for you to lie down. Oh, you're dead.
Well, as long as I don't know it, it won't hurt me.
You better go. If anyone knew I was within 10 yards of a guy as red hot as you, mister, they'd burn me down, too. Please, go.
Where can I find the big shot?
I never heard tell of any big shot. You're barking up the wrong tombstone, mister.
You're a morbid little girl, aren't you?
Like I said, in this town, death is always looking in on you. Anyone you meet can be the butcher, even you. Now go, I'm scared. What if someone tailed you to me? What if... What's that?
Shh.
You were tailed. In must have got into the fire escape and...
Down, get down. Rose.
You weren't him. You...
Rose. Well... Yes. Yes, I was tailed. Too bad you were the one who had to be tagged.
Well, Mr. Templer, I'm glad you decided to visit the office of the district attorney voluntarily. It does save you the embarrassment of my picking you up, doesn't it?
Yes, Mr. Richards, but it also saves you the embarrassment of trying to pick me up. Why this sudden desire to entertain me, Mr. Richards?
I'm not entertaining you, Saint. I'm holding you for murder.
I repeat, why?
You were in the same room when Rose Taylor was killed.
So?
So the least I can do to uphold my oath of office, Mr. Templer, is to jug you. As, shall we say, a material witness?
It's nice material, Mr. Richards, but it makes a badly fitting suit.
Why was she killed?
Because she was one of the two people who knew the name of your local head Crumbum.
She told you?
I wasn't given enough time to convince her that she should before someone decided it was the 4th of July. But there are other ways to search him out and make sure he keeps his date.
His date, Mr. Templer?
Yes, with the chair that men sit in only once. A certain John Daniels was a friend of mine from childhood. I was a pallbearer at his funeral, Mr. Richards.
And so?
The bullet in his back made his coffin awfully heavy. It got heavier in retrospect when I heard the district attorney had called the case closed.
I had to close it. I'd gone up every alley, and they were all dead end. There were too many live cases that needed my staff's attention.
I know, so I'm playing it my way. I've gone up the same blind alleys in the past few days. Now I'm in an alley with a freeway at the end of it.
You mean you know who killed Daniel?
Yes, Mr. Number One, the big shot himself. Now all I have to do is learn his name.
Is that all?
And, of course, take him.
Yeah, I ought to lock you up for your own safety.
You should, but you won't. In fact, you can't.
No?
No. Because I took the liberty to do a little press agenting.
You what?
I told the newspapers that I'd be here both today to have a talk and tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock to deliver a murderer. The people in this town might not approve of your not giving me the chance.
All right. Until 10 tomorrow. I'll expect you, Mr. Templer. With or without your victim?
I'll be here.
I know you'll be here, Mr. Templer. The only question is, will you be here dead or alive?
Templer. Simon Templer?
Yes, I... Oh, you startled me. For a moment, I thought you were someone else.
Who, Mr. Templer?
Someone who couldn't possibly walk up to me on the street. Who are you?
Her sister.
Rose Taylor's sister?
The late Rose Taylor's sister, Mr. Templer. But does one call you Saint?
It doesn't matter.
Why did you kill her?
There's only one possible answer to that. I didn't.
I don't believe you. No, don't reach into that pocket, Saint. Not unless you're completely bored with life.
Bored? Oh, on the contrary. So far, my life with you has been one continual round of excitement.
Next, I suppose, you'll suggest we fly away to the cosmos.
Oh, something like that. Only I had the bar up the street in mind as the place to fly away to.
I don't drink with people I don't trust. So let's fly my way. Come. And in case you're thinking of lingering, remember, I've got a hand on my pocketbook. And a finger that isn't convinced you didn't kill Rose.
I bet it's a 25 with a mother-of-pearl handle.
You win the bet. It's a small gun, but when the bullets hit, they feel big. Come.
Where are we going?
Someone wants to see you.
And you were delegated to haul me in, a mere girl with a mere 25.
I wasn't delegated, mister. I begged for the job.
I'm flattered.
Don't be. I begged for the job because I was hoping you'd try not to come. Rose was my only sister. Come on, come on.
One more question before I decide whether or not to be shot or hijacked. Whom are we calling on?
Al Boston. I'm his secretary. He wants to see you.
Rest your trigger finger, lady. That's exactly what I feel like doing, too. Hello, Al.
Well,
party the saints. I had Jackie bring you over because I want to warn you to lay off, Saint.
The last time you warned me to lay off, Al, you wound up serving time.
Well, I've smartened up, Saint. I don't bite off more than I can swallow no longer. Now, what's making your ear itch?
Who's the big boss, Al?
For how much?
You mean you'll tell for money?
Can you think of a better thing to get paid off in? I told you I've smartened up. I don't squeeze triggers for a living no more, Saint.
Oh, what type of wrongdoing do you specialize in now, Al?
I'm in charge of the big boss's books.
You mean there's penthouse and Cadillac money in that?
Well, that depends on how the books are kept, Saint. I've got a system. And the only guy knows who the big boy is. And I'm the only guy knows what his take is. He trusts me like a Siamese twin.
And you repay his trust by robbing him.
It's all in the racket. Like I've been telling you, I've smartened up. Nobody knows it, Saint, but your pal Daniels was here in town on my private invitation.
You mean you sent for the Treasury Department?
Sure. It's like this. The big boy pulls in 7 figures a year on his businesses. And naturally, he don't pay no taxes to Mr. Whisker.
Oh, naturally.
There's a fortune to our uncle in back tax stuff. Only our uncle don't know he's got it coming. So I thought he should.
Out of patriotism, of course.
Yeah, out of patriotism. They always treated me so nice in Leavenworth. Out of patriotism and 10%, Saint.
10%?
Yeah. That's what Uncle Sammy's kept me in for helping to catch a tax dodger. Trouble was, the boss got wise to what Daniels was up to and gave him one through the lungs.
Well, how fortunate he didn't get wise to you, Al.
Yeah. But I've smartened up, Saint. I've smartened up.
The package just came, Al. Feels like ledgers.
Oh, yeah, I've been expecting that, Jackie. I better get into these books right away.
I'm going out. Goodbye, Al.
Goodbye.
Another set of books to juggle, Al?
Yeah, from one of the joints. I better open this up and see which one.
Al, drop it! Get down! Al! Al!
Oh. Like I told you, Saint. I've smartened up.
Yes. You've smartened up, Al. But I'm afraid someone else is just a little smarter.
You are listening to The Saint, starring Vincent Price. Man, here's a tip. Top off your grooming in tip-top style. That's right. Use new Trim Hair Tonic to make your hair look its handsome best. You see, Trim Hair Tonic grooms in a new natural way because it's the first and only hair tonic made with pure virgin olive oil, nature's finest hair and scalp conditioner. Yes, Trim is Pepsodent's sensational new hair tonic development. Trim Hair Tonic brings you pure virgin olive oil to condition your scalp as it grooms your hair. You can see the olive oil in Trim floating right on top. Just a few quick shakes, spreads it completely. So Trim gets pure virgin olive oil right on your scalp, where good hair care starts. Massage for just 30 seconds. Then note how Trim's conditioning action relieves dryness at once, checks loose falling dandruff, leaves your scalp wonderfully refreshed, your hair perfectly groomed. And you'll like Trim's clean, fresh fragrance, the way it's quick and easy, never greasy. Yes, Trim keeps hair looking neat and well-groomed in a handsome, natural way. So try a Trim Hair Tonic now and condition your scalp as you groom your hair. Continue now with Vincent Price as The Saint.
Another bourbon old-fashioned, please.
How many do you think it'll take to drown out the explosion in your ears, Jackie?
Well, you followed me, Snicker. I was afraid you might.
Little girls who don't want to be followed shouldn't wear Chanel No. 5 and strapless evening gowns, and particularly the latter. And they shouldn't carry bombs around, either.
You can't pin that on me.
As long as you're wearing that particular evening gown, I'm inclined to believe you. But you did serve up the bomb, didn't you?
Books. I didn't know the bomb was there. Tell me, Al, is he...
Yes. Mr. Boston is deader than the city he named himself after. There'll be others unless you...
I know all the answers to that one. And even if I did...
You wouldn't tell me.
How right you are. I'm too young to die like Rose did. I'm not in any racket. I don't know it.
It's amazing how few people in this town admit to knowing anything. Must be graft in the public school system.
No. Fear. The nervous system. The only thing people in this town aren't afraid of is getting arrested.
There have been cities like this before, Jackie. And in 9 cases out of 10, when the local Mussolini was eliminated, the lesser rat scampered off the ship.
It's a big hunk you've bitten off for yourself, Robin Hood. I wonder if you can swallow through. Goodbye.
You're leaving? And I was beginning to enjoy our conversation. Also the Chanel No. 5 and everything else.
I noticed you were enjoying yourself. Pleasant memories.
Where are you going?
I'm going to find a safety zone. I'm leaving town. Don't be surprised if you get a postcard with a picture of the Arch of Triumph.
Goodbye, Jackie. And good luck.
You're the one who needs the luck. I hope you get him. Rose was a good kid.
I'll get him.
She was a good kid.
And thanks for the night. Fat tip.
Tip? I don't know what you're talking. Be careful how you use it.
Well, Mr. Templer, how convenient of the newspaper to keep its reference files open at night.
Are you a professional busybody, or have you an axe to grind, too?
Oh, dear me, I'm not a busybody, Mr. Templer. Nor do I have an axe to grind. Merely a gun to shoot, Mr. Templer.
You know, someday, somewhere, a man will come up to me on a dark street and merely ask me for a light.
I doubt it. I'm afraid your saintly stay in this world of tears and chaos is drawing to its close, Mr. Templer. This time you've poked up the wrong fire. You seem nervous, Mr. Templer.
Who are you?
Does it matter? We'll be acquainted such a short time.
Well, I'd just like to know who it is that I am to come back and haunt.
Very well. I am known to the exceedingly few who know me as the Professor.
The Professor? I've had guns pulled on me by cops, cranks, crooks, and coroners, but I believe you're the very first Professor.
I don't mean to disillusion you, Mr. Templer, but I was merely an assistant Professor.
Oh, I'm still impressed.
If you don't mind, the car's over there.
After you, Professor.
Please, no jokes. I assure you, this is a most serious matter. Come. Here we are. You will get in, please.
Oh, after you. Oh, no, I forgot. You're not in much of a mood for joking, are you?
No. Not unless the joke is mine. Like this one.
Oh. Yeah.
You hit him just a little harder, boss. You could have saved yourself some bullets.
I pay you to drive the car, Stephen, not to offer suggestions.
Okay, boss. Where through the country?
First, we'll go to the place, Stephen. There are some questions I want Mr. Templer to answer. Questions that may require a soundproof room.
Oh.
Wake up, Mr. Templer.
Oh, so there really is someone like you. I didn't think I deserved that bad a dream.
Bloody but unbowed, eh, Mr. Templer? For a moment, I was afraid I might have been a trifle too energetic on your skull.
I hate to boast, Professor, but my skull's been creased before by experts. In fact, it has more treads in it than Goodrich puts in his tires.
Still fond of your little jokes, I see. How unfortunate they must be wasted on me. You see, I'm a humorless man.
So I've noticed.
I brought you here to ask you some questions, Mr. Templer.
You should have warned me, Professor. I'm afraid I didn't come prepared for a quiz.
I have various means of preparing you, Mr. Templer. So to begin, to whom did you describe your suspicions concerning a certain man's identity?
A certain man? You wouldn't be meaning the big man, would you? The head rat?
I have reason to believe you know who he is. Whom have you confided in?
Not prepared, Professor.
Oh!
Shall we try the question once again?
Yes, but something tells me you'll never pay me the $64.
Oh. I can't tell you how impatient I am for your answer, Mr. Templer. You see, after you've finished talking, I have other things planned for you.
How nice of you to take me, a mere stranger, in tow like this. I must remember to return all your courtesies when you untie me.
Talk!
Certainly. But to the district attorney.
Yes, I read about your boast to emulate the Northwest Mounted by bringing in your man to the district attorney. A pity you won't keep the date. What is it, Stephen?
I thought you might be wanting me for something, boss.
No, Stephen. When I want you... Stephen, the door. How many times must I tell you to keep it closed? You fool. You know how I feel about an open door.
But no bugs came in, boss. There practically ain't any this time of the year anyway.
You tell me,
A former professor of entomology?
Assistant professor.
Leave, Stephen. Leave at once before I do something we'll both be sorry for.
Okay, boss, okay.
Fool. You know, it took me a little time to catch on to your particular type of insanity, Professor, but I see it all now.
Do you, Mr. Templer?
A professor of entomology, eh? The study of insects. And you studied them so hard, Professor, you're cracked.
Silence!
You're not in the classroom now with your students and your specimen bottles, Professor. You're in the big leagues now, in the World Series, Professor. You got to know everything there was to know about insects, didn't you? You knew them so well, you became afraid of them.
Shut up!
It is something to get afraid of when you turn your imagination loose on the subject, Professor. When you consider how many millions of insects there are for each human being.
Stop it! I said stop it!
There's a fly on your sleeve,
no.
Professor.
Stop it!
And I think I just almost fell.
I said stop it!
Look, a moth!
No! No, stop it!
Look over there!
Stop!
Crickets,
stop.
Professor! Roaches! Locusts! Spiders! Spiders!
Help me!
You have to untie me if you want me to help you. You'll have to, Professor. Grasshoppers over there, Professor.
Stop.
And there's a centipede.
Ah.
Ropes. Professor, ropes.
Yes. Yes, I'll tell you. Oh, help me. Help me.
Yeah.
Now you can save me. Oh, please. Please help me.
Certainly, the first thing to do is to get all these crawling, sliding things out of your mind.
Oh,
that's easy. All you have to do is relax. Like I'll be able to keep my date with the district attorney after all, Professor. My old grandmother used to say, "Net to you."
So you kept your word, Mr. Templer. You're here. And alive.
Yes, I'm here. Despite the obstacle course of desperadoes I've run through since our last little talk, Mr. Richards.
I'm sorry to say I don't see you a prisoner, Mr. Templer. As I recall, you were to dish up the head crumb bum. I suppose you couldn't bring him in.
No, I couldn't bring him in. You see, he already was in.
I beg your pardon?
Don't beg my pardon, Richard. It's the governor's pardon you want, and you know, I don't think you'll get it.
Are you crazy?
No, just slow-witted, it seems. Being a district attorney is a wonderful cover-up for a crumb-bum, isn't it, Richard?
You're insane.
Am I?
You sound insane, Mr. Templer. Rushing in here, threatening to kill me, calling me a crook and demanding money.
Oh, I see.
Of course, I'd be perfectly willing to forget all of these things. And the various other offenses I find it so cozy to dream up. If you'll just quietly leave town and pretend you were never here.
You mean just force from my memory some of the happiest moments of my life, Mr. District Attorney? Oh, no, you're asking too much.
Then it looks as though we've reached a stalemate, Templar. Unless, of course, one of us chooses to get violent.
Once I catch a murderer, Mr. Richards, I leave all further violence to the state executioner.
Once you catch him, Templar. Right now, you seem to be in the disturbing position of the hunter who caught a tiger by the tail. Put up your hands.
Huh? Oh, you mean over my head? Your bug-crazy professor made me keep them at my sides.
Templar, who gave me away?
It was a remark I heard, Mr. Richards. I was told that the only thing in this town people aren't afraid of is getting arrested.
So?
So I checked Mr. District Attorney's record in the newspaper files. You have an abominable batting average, Richards. People, your people, were literally getting away with murder.
Yeah. How clever of you to notice.
You controlled the gang because you could set them free, and so you also controlled the racket.
I know. But you still have to prove your story, Mr. Templer.
Oh, it's already done. I took the trouble to switch on your intercom, Richards. I'm afraid our conversation wasn't very private.
Why, you...
And now, Mr. Richards, our personal business. Before the police get here...
Keep your hands up high.
Certainly. Is this high enough? Or shall I raise them higher so I can reach this chandelier?
No!
Have a nice nap, Mr. Richards. I'm... Sorry I tore up your chandelier, but my old grandmother always taught me to put out the lights before going to sleep.
Our star, Vincent Price, will be back in a moment. If you're a man who's going places, you want to look your best. So try new Trim Hair Tonic. It conditions your scalp as it grooms your hair. Yes, Trim's the amazing new Pepsodent product. It's the first and only hair tonic made with pure virgin olive oil, nature's finest hair and scalp conditioner. Ask your barber for a professional application of Trim Hair Tonic. And get a bottle at your favorite toilet goods counter. Ask for Trim. It conditions your scalp as it grooms your hair. And now, Vincent Price.
Ladies and gentlemen, it was Robert Blair in the 18th century who best expressed the fate of our greedy Mr. Richards when he wrote these words. O cursed lust of gold, when for thy sake the fool throws up his interest in both worlds, he's lost in this, condemned in that to come. I sincerely hope you enjoyed tonight's show and will be with us again next week for another adventure of the saint. Good night.
Tonight's story of the saint was written by Michael Cramoy. Music was composed and conducted by Bill Fontaine. Vincent Price is appearing by courtesy of Universal International Pictures, producers of Ride the Pink Horse. Stay tuned in now for The Whistler, which follows immediately over most of these stations. And join us again next week at the same time for another adventure of the saint, the Robin Hood of modern crime, brought to you by Trim Hair Tonic.
T-R-I-M.
Yes, Trim, the first hair tonic with pure olive oil.
T-R-I-M.
Trim conditions your scalp as it grooms your hair.
T-R-I-M.
Trim hair tonic, quick and easy, never greasy.
It's easy to look trim with Trim.
Wendell Niles speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
The Saint, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 15th of October, 1947, on CBS. And so closes this hour of crime on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden age. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVonier. Thanks for tuning in.